Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service. We have the intubations. Thank you. If there are any visitors, you may wish to sign our visitor's book. Unfortunately, we have no Zoom presentation today due to holidays. Middle East Appeal. There will be a retiring collection for the Christian Aid Middle East Appeal this morning. Community Cinema. The Sanctuary Cinema will be showing its first film of the winter season this Thursday, the 26th of October, at 1 p.m. The film is The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. See poster for more details. The Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. The church is once again supporting the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. Last year, 88,816 shoeboxes were delivered to people in need across Eastern Europe. You can help by filling a shoebox, donating items from the list which will be used to fill shoeboxes, a donation of money towards transport costs. Pray for the people who will receive the boxes. Leaflets are available in the vestibule or can be downloaded from the Blythewood Care website. Donations can be made until next Sunday, the 29th of October. Hats, skirts and gloves were on sale, but they've all been sold, so that's good. Cairnhill Parent Council needs singers. They're looking for singers for their Christmas fair, which takes place at the school on the 22nd of November from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Anyone interested, please come to the Irene, this should read the Irene Patterson room on Thursday the 26th of October at 3:30 p.m. or speak to Irene Scott. The church newsletter. Contributions are needed for our December Christmas newsletter. Please consider writing something. This can be about any church activity or anything else of interest to our readership across the parish. We aim to encourage everyone in the community to take an interest in our village church. Speak to Derek or send contributions to derek@cairnhillchurch.org.uk. There are further intimations in the printed sheet. This is available on our website or via our Facebook page if you do not have a copy. And then we'll have a quick look at the order of service.
Thank you, Marion. Just to stress that about the newsletter, the success of the newsletter does depend on what we call content these days. I need content. So please have a think if there's anything you could do for the newsletter. Now, Norman's still on holiday, so I have the privilege and the challenge of leading you this morning. I've got the threat of a cold coming on, so I'm hoping my voice lasts through and I apologise if it gets stuck at any point. But shall we turn to worship? I'm going to ask Marion to lead us in the unbold bit, and then we can read together the bold bit, please.
As we stand together before you, may our worship be an offering of praise and thanksgiving, recognizing your loving care and the hope we find in Christ Jesus. We humbly submit our lives to your loving guidance, that we may be a fruitful vineyard, reflecting your glory to the world around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer, we gather and worship. Amen.
So our first hymn this morning, the familiar one, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, it's at hymn 132.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we lay our gifts before you, seeking your blessing on all that we give in money and time and of our talents. We pray that all will be used wisely and well to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, Marian is leading our prayers.
Our first prayer this morning takes the form of a poem. The words came from John Bell. Let us pray. Bless, O my soul, bless God the Lord, the one from whom you came. Let all within me be stirred up to bless God's holy name. Bless, O my soul, the Lord your God, and never once forget the many gracious benefits God gave and gives you yet. Pardon for all the wrong you've done, healing from every ill. Rescue from ruin and from death, these spring from God's good will. God's love and mercy crown your life, God meets your deep desires. The Lord, who makes the eagle soar, your newfound life inspires. Bless God, you mighty angel throngs, fulfilling heaven's command. Bless God, all you attendant hosts, who serve at God's right hand. O bless the Lord in heaven and earth, you creatures of God's word. And you, my soul, stir up yourself to bless and worship God. And let us pray together using the words of Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The hymn is number 28, which is actually Psalm 36. And the tune will be familiar to you. The mercy, thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. Hymn 28.
Thank you.
for setting the scene this morning, I need a volunteer. I need someone to be brave and come up here. Someone who thinks they might be able to draw. Alison.
A volunteer.
Right, we have facilities for you. Look, there's a chair. All will become clear. Or not so clear. Now then. Is that near enough? And what do we need? Paper and pen? Sheet of paper, a pen and a spare. Okay. So, Alison, if you look on the screen, I want you to study the shape carefully. Right? You might want to count things. And just try and memorise it, actually. Tell me when you think you've seen enough. You got it? Okay. I'd like you to draw it, Alison, with your eyes shut.
We'll just sit quiet.
She might be too good at it. It's progressing. It's not going on. Actually, it's pretty good, isn't it? What if I asked you to draw it with your eyes open? Can you?
Can you do it?
Can you see how good an artist you are?
Oh gosh!
Because what I want to be able to do is compare the two. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Would you like to retire? We'll just push this aside.
Right.
So, what is the point? It's really just the point. Does it help to see clearly what you're doing? Even to see the pattern. I think it did, didn't it? Alison was almost too good, mind you. So let's not forget those who are blind or visually impaired and the challenges they face. But the simple message there is, yes, it helps when you have your eyes open, when you can see where you're going. And the question is, though, in matters of life, in getting through each day, are your own senses up to the challenge? Are they enough to keep you on track? Now, I chose that little test. I came up with it, actually, as an alternative to the one that was in the resource I was looking at, Spill the Beans, which suggested I could blindfold someone and ask them to walk round an obstacle course. I thought that might not stand up to a risk assessment. So we're going to come to our readings. The Old Testament readings this morning are just a sample of those that contain the promises of God concerning guidance for life, the theme I have chosen. And then the gospel reading is from the lectionary, and Alistair's going to read for us this morning. Alistair.
So let's hear first of all from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 and verses 97 to 105. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the others, for I obey your precepts. I've kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Amen. Then from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Amen again. And then finally from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him, that is Jesus, in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Can we sing again? Hymn 502, Take My Life, Lord, and Let It Be. Hymn 502.
Thank you.
My talk this morning is about the Bible readings, but also the importance of reading the Bible. And by that I mean reading the Bible other than in church on Sunday. We are perhaps 150 years distant now from what I imagine was a typical Victorian scene with Father reading to the family from the family Bible, which sat on the mantelpiece ready for instant use. I think today you would struggle to find that scene being repeated in the general population. As Christians, reading the Bible should be something we do regularly as part of our devotions. Now, I think we've probably thought about the power of prayer more often than we look at the subject of the Bible itself. Now, I'm not standing here telling you this is something I'm very good at. I'm sure there are folk here who are very disciplined and organised in their devotions, both prayer and reading the Bible. I'm less organised, patchy in my adherence at best, and I don't have good excuses either. With the amount of stuff there is online now, it's probably never been easier to access the Bible, on the go or anywhere, and a wide range of commentaries. However, whether or not you feel you're organised and have a good Bible reading habit, it's worth reminding ourselves why reading the Bible matters. There were a couple of steps leading to my choice of subject. When I first sat down to prepare something to say, I thought the obvious starting point was to think of a sequel to my last talk to you. In summertime, I suggested we might all practice becoming good storytellers. It is really important that we engage more people, including younger people, in the life of our congregation. I suggested that rather than worrying about doing evangelism, scary subject, we might all at least be able to say why our church is good for the parish and why we, each of us, take part, why we are here. To be able to tell our own stories, in other words. Now, afterwards, I found myself thinking about the built-in assumption that's in that suggestion. And if anyone is going to overthink something, that is me. What came to my head was, but do we have those words settled in our minds? Why we come to church? Do we have a script in our heads? And more importantly, are we always primed and ready to produce them at the right time? Maybe you've had the same experience as me, where a conversation has taken place with someone, and sometime later you realise, wait a minute, that might have been an opportunity missed, an opportunity to invite someone to church or a church activity. So the question is, are we always ready? Do I go through every day focused on the things of God and ready to tell my story? What might help? And the second piece in the jigsaw of finding the theme was just an article in one of a series of online daily notes that I look at when I remember. Just one that resonated with me. The piece was entitled Straight Paths, and the writer referred to lines from the Psalms. You will show me the path of life. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And the verse from Proverbs. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We heard those passages this morning. The common theme is that God can and will show us the right way to go if we're paying attention. I like those assurances. It has always seemed to me that we could all be better at being Christians if only God's instructions were clear. Why not write them in the clouds? Why are we sometimes left uncertain about the right thing to do? But of course, the fault in receiving an understanding lies entirely within us, within me. In Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, your word is a lamp for my feet. The association of God's word in Scripture with guidance for living couldn't be clearer. Verses 5 and 6 from our reading in Proverbs make a single sentence beginning, trust the Lord, and he will make your path straight. That's a different translation to the one which Alistair read for us. The devotional piece that I picked up was using the New King James Version. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But we read, of course, the New International Version, which says, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And the whole sentence is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Whichever version you take, acknowledge him, submit to him. The call is to stay faithful. If we follow our own agenda, we are likely to miss God's direction and prompting. Staying faithful depends on prayer, without doubt, but it also means engaging with the Bible. The author of that article put it like this: are we studying his word daily to find that light? Are we acknowledging him in all our ways and submitting to his will always, or just when it's convenient? We sang Psalm 36 earlier on. Its final verse talks about the fountain of life being God, and about us seeing light in God's light. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. There are many other places in Scripture where light is said to come from God. Light is the opposite of darkness. Light is needed for life, even in daytime, and spiritual light is needed for spiritual life. And then ultimately in John's Gospel we find the verse I've used, and it's on screen. I used in the order of service, where Jesus says of himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So can we take the time and have the discipline to keep to a regular routine with the Bible? As I said, very much a memo to self as well as for anyone else. The promise is there. If we follow this teaching, God will provide his light for our path and steer us in the right direction. He will help us to do the right thing at the right time. He will make sure we're ready. And then we might not miss out on any opportunities. Any storytelling opportunities. Our New Testament reading today is from the lectionary, and it's a very familiar story. The Pharisees, with malice aforethought, set out to get Jesus into bother. If they could make him say, don't pay Roman taxes, he would be branded a dissident, a rabble-rouser. Whereas if he said you should pay Roman taxes, he might be seen as a collaborator, a supporter of the hated occupying army. Jesus outwits them and finds a third answer that has the Pharisees both baffled and amazed. He said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. The notes on this that I looked at explained, firstly, that of the three taxes the Jews paid to the Romans, the one referred to is the poll tax. And in fact, the version Alistair read said poll tax, which must be in the modernised NIV, wasn't in mine at home. The poll tax was a tribute to the emperor, and the coin Jesus asked to see was a denarius, which is the very coin that every Jew was required to pay over to settle their poll tax. Now, in Roman society, the coinage belonged to the emperor. It was replaced very quickly when the emperor changed. So in one respect, the coins indeed did belong to Caesar. And Jesus said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. What about the last part? Give back to God what is God's. We owe everything to God, and honouring God sits above honouring any earthly leader. Did you notice that Jesus asked, whose image is this and whose inscription? The image and inscription would, of course, symbolise Caesar's power in the world. They would not be popular with the people of Israel. Every time they used that coin, they would be reminded of who and what Caesar was. Diversion. Did you pick up this from the news? This is about our own coinage, and the Royal Mint has revealed these new designs approved by King Charles, which will be introduced gradually over the coming months and years. The coins symbolise Charles's interest in nature and the environment. I quite like them, actually. It's just a pity we don't use coins very much anymore. But when we do, the images will remind us of the personality of King Charles. So, thinking about that, I wonder what God's coinage would look like if there was such a thing. Would it help us to have an image representing God and an inscription from God in our pockets? Well, maybe in a sense that is what you can have by picking up the Bible. We might have a message or phrase to take around with us, a virtual God coin in our pocket with a new inscription each time we study. Probably more valuable, definitely more valuable than even the new £2 coin. So however you look at it, the Bible is one of God's best gifts to us. It is available to us, and God will use it to guide us, to light our paths and make our ways straight. It's up to us to make full use of it. Amen. I'm going to ask Marion to lead us in prayer once again.
I wonder if, like me, you were horrified by the events that happened over last weekend and the week following it. That, together with ongoing conflicts and other worldwide disasters, there is so much to pray for. But this morning, I'd like just to make a short prayer in the words of St. Francis of Assisi. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. For thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Marion. Our final hymn, 516, we are marching in the light of God. And we think, Caroline, that we've got the right number of verses. The rhythm, just go with the tune. It's a wee bit clunky, I think. We'll listen to it. But anyway, you know it well, so let's sing We Are Marching in the Light of God.
Thank you.
a minute we're going to sing the blessing, and it's the one we used at Kincardine at the start of the month, and one or two folks said to me they liked it, so we shall do that. I wanted to say a thank you to those that have taken part today, and that's Marion and Alison, Caroline on the tech, and just a reminder there that there is the retiring collection for the whole situation in the Middle East. That's going via Christian Aid, and there's a plate at the door. So the words are here for Mission Praise 460, and I'm sure you'll know the tune. Thank you, Caroline. There is an intro, so just in case. Yeah.